This recording, Oklahoma 16, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sari Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at the old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Kama, Kama," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Through the years, I have perfected the creation of the peanut butter sandwich. I think a lot of people think it's very simple. They think it takes only a couple of ingredients in a few minutes and don't put a lot of thought into it. But through the years, I've noted that careful thinking about the peanut butter sandwich can really increase the enjoyment on the eating side. And so what I do is, first of all, make sure that it's the very freshest bread. And if the bread is not fresh, then I will just not have a peanut butter sandwich. The bread has to be good because the bread is so much a part of the experience. I prefer the crunchy peanut butter. A lot of people I know question that, but to me it's not as if you can't have a peanut butter sandwich without crunchy peanut butter, but why would you? Second, I've only recently evolved from one jelly to another. I guess the better part of 50 years, I've been a grape guy. I just love the grape jelly, and it has been my jelly of choice for as long as I can remember. But recently, a friend of mine handed me some homemade jelly that her mother had made from fresh strawberries. And through the course of consuming that jar, I realized that even though her jelly was gone, I now wanted to start buying strawberry jelly at the store instead of grape. That's a revelation to me, that I would change jelly at age 55. Is something I didn't see coming. I think one other thing to keep in mind on the peanut butter sandwich is to keep it fairly simple. Peanut butter, jelly, you might want to add some almonds or some nuts to it, but stay away from the honey, stay away from the marshmallow cream. This is not dessert, this is meaningful food and one of life's staples.